listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
Exploring feminism and technology through space and time.
Un petit problème, little problem technical, I guess. I still figure out how to switch things up. It's a little first, or like a few times I'm using this system, so welcome on FF Isles. We will talk today with Claire Pearl. I hope the sound is strong enough. I'm kind of like figuring out. I guess it's good. Okay, is it good now? Okay. Tu entends pas? You hear it? Yeah, I hear my voice. I think it's good. No, your voice is not on. Oh, that's annoying. Oh. So I'm just gonna put something in. I don't know if. I'm just gonna put some little song down and I'm gonna come back. Okay, we're back online. I think we're supposed to work. Do you want to try?
Do you hear me now?
Okay, welcome, Claire.
I still don't think I hear myself.
Well, I hear you, so
okay,
it's good.
Okay, perfect. That's
yes.
enough.
Yes. So Claire is a contemporary dancer, maker and performer based in Diosdage, Minyang, Montreal. She's fascinated by transformative effects of imagination and language in live performance. State of presence, detailed physical texture and perceived realities. Drawn to diverse experience of truth, she finds herself in the raw, in the flesh, and particularly in frictions. Claire collaborates closely with the performers she works with, creating intimate and performing a personal movement structure to reflect the co-thinking of these partnerships. She recently presented L'Absolu and Absurde, et Vous êtes ici. I took a really strong, I don't speak French accent, which is funny, co-created with Léonie Bélanger. Archive of Youth in 2022, and Sink Your Teeth in the Void in Austria, also in 22. Claire graduated in choreography from Salzburg Experimental Academy of Dance Seed, as well as from the Université du Québec à Montréal, where she obtained a BFA in dance and choreography. And you had also like a, you were kind of at a mansion, more than a mansion. You had a, you were kind of like a, one of your, how to say, what was the prize you got from BFA? You were kind of like...
The prize I got?
I mean, you were kind of like in the...
I was in the choreography program.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it's like a small program. It's like only one or two person that like
exactly.
take that vein every year.
Yeah.
And I think I like went, as you said, to Seed in Austria for a year after that to like to find freedom, I guess.
Mm.
The kind of freedom that I needed from people who didn't know me, and I needed, I think, liberties. I needed to allow myself stuff, and I think that's why I went to Austria to be with people who didn't know me.
So you wanted a bit of a new challenge.
Yeah, definitely new challenge, but also I think I like when I graduated from university here, I was. I felt such a big pressure. Also, it was like pandemic times, and it was like this pressure also to produce and to know who I am as an artist when I was like just finishing my degree, you know. And I feel like it was as if everything that I was doing at that time was going to be forever, you know. It was going to be like, that is my identity, and I needed to like to break away from that and be like, actually, being around people who didn't know me allowed me to do things that I wasn't, that weren't related to expectations from other people and from myself.
And so from there, you came back in 2023, I guess, and, or like 22, you were back in 22.
Yeah, yes. Summer of 22.
Yeah, and brought back kind of this new world that you have been going forward to create.
Yeah.
I've seen you many times with Leonie, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what is the direction have you been going in terms of like your practice and your reflection around your own self, I guess? Because it's really sensory of your practice is so centered to your world and your like your being. So where are you heading with this?
I mean, as you mentioned, so I came back from Austria and I started creating with my best friend, who is Leonie Bélanger. And we kind of like had a creation residency already planned. And then I came back and we were like, oh, let's do it and let's have fun and not think of what we're doing. And we had like created before already, and then we started like doing this project called L'Absolute Absurde, and we like started creating a universe that at the time we didn't know was called the Altermundi, but now we know it is called the Altermundi. And so we started this kind of world building approach, we did another creation after that, because we were like, oh, well, let's do something different. And then it kind of ended up being the same thing, but different. And so as we were doing something different, the other piece that was called Ego and Horse, part two.
Which I went.
Yeah, also. It's like different and the same, because we were using like similar methodologies or approaches. And then we did a third piece in the same way, and then after the third piece we realized maybe we have a universe, and maybe our collective, which is called Project Alter Dogs, is situated in this world that we've created that's called the Altermundi. So it's so that's like this dance, performance, science fiction intersection universe that I do with my collective, with Leonid.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I would like you to maybe like talk a bit more about like, how do you meet this universe? How do you go for it? Like, meeting the other is always something so challenging, so weird. And like, I feel you have been moving into like places in a way that like is so open-hearted. I see you being so open-hearted to everything that I mean, is nice to you and that feels joyful to you, but you're so open-hearted to that and that renewal. How are you meeting it? How do you meet this otherness that is so otherworldly in a way? Like, it's just so weird, and making it accessible. So, I mean, not even from the standpoint of, like, how do you want to, like, bring it to the world? Because I think that's another piece of this beautiful performance, dance, world-building. But yeah, how do you meet the other?
Interesting. Who is the other? The other is like, is many people in this case, I think. I think it's, I mean, first of all, is the self that is other while being in this world. It's like to create a distinction with ourselves in the daily lives and ourselves in this world. We pass by what we call our posture d'avatar, or like posture as being an avatar, and going through that allows us to be in a like specific perception field, and being able to feel things and to relate to our environment and to project and visualize specific things. So it's like we need to kind of access this alter ego in order to be in that universe.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Did you had to build these alter egos, or they just came to you too?
It was like a pure necessity. Okay. It was like we had to do it. Like we couldn't just be ourselves. We had to go through that. And we kind of developed this very basic ways of connection, like connecting to ourselves in that posture, which was connection to self, connection to the environment, and then connection to the other. And the other was Leonie, and was the Arthur, who is also our musician who has been working with us and performing in live. But like going through like this like kind of ritualized steps made that like we were getting into that skin almost.
Yeah. So one thing I hear also here is just that in a way, the self doesn't present itself by itself. It needs the other. It needs the other to be present at the same time. So it's always this weird dialectical movement. You with Leonie and you with the world that you're building, but also you with the public. You're kind of like trying to envision. But I mean, not from the beginning, but the public is always there in a way. It's always present in just the absence of it even.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something around that that like, how to say, where did the self started to make sense, I guess? Like, did it started with this process of, like, playing and, like, playfulness? Like, I feel that's the thing you were talking about earlier. I felt, like, in contemporary dancing and contemporary performance, sometimes I found, how to say that, like, no judgment. It's, like, it's just a different perspective, I think, but I really see that much joyfulness and that for that much fun. Like, it's really fun to watch you, and I see that you're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
How this embodiment, like, kind of like become, and like, do you are how what is it like an ethical point of view? Is it more just like you're just wanting to feel it and be in this like always newness, this new, always funness?
I think a big part of what we do is improvised, and it has that like margin of risk and of not knowing specifically what is going to happen when it's going to happen is extremely important to making it live and making it happen for real. Like, you know, like we do these kind of imaginary dives where we enter the world, we enter the alter mundi. Sometimes we're with the musician, sometimes we're not with him. But like there's a factor of improvisation that comes in where I need to listen to what like is happening and changing in my own imagination and how that's meeting Leonie. Like, are we at the same place at the same time? Mm-hmm. Is she trying to communicate with me? What am I trying to communicate with her? Like, so it feels like there's so much information and so much at risk during the improvisation that it's kind of like a super power mode, like a super listening mode, super happening mode, super like thrilling kind of mode. Like, you know, like there's a risk to that in that context, you know? And so I think that's why it's fun. Mm-hmm. It's because we're playing with the unknown in a way, you know?
The unknown is always present here. Yeah.
Always. Definitely.
And it's an interesting thing too, like, I'm always challenged with the division of categories of art and of just things. And here, let's say, you challenge the boundaries in between dance and performance for sure. Mm-hmm. And even like what is like presenting something. And like, I mean, there's definitely a lot of work that is put in these practice. And there's like, container, I guess, like a container that surrounds it, and like you let people come sometimes in this container or like around it, I guess, because it's often around the container that you like to put the public around. Is there like a thing around this? Like, have you thought about like how to present, I guess?
Mm-hmm. We have fantasies.
okay.
So we did this festival last year called Art Souterrain. Mm-hmm. And we were given the possibility to, we did two performances. One was a little bit more classic in the sense that like it was announced, we were performing, that was happening. There was like this dedicated space to the event, even if it was like kind of in an old store, not a stage, not a theater. It was like still underground, but it was a bit more conventional. And then the other performance we did was in the Cathcart, so like in the food court. At like 12:30 in the middle of like the the centre-ville, we kind of came up with our little speaker and we did a performance and this like encounter with a public that didn't expect us. Like, we were limit like bothering them, like they were just trying to like have lunch, you know, and we're here like being like universe and interactions and reacting to them, and it was super strong. Like, we would also like get inspired, because a whole part of like what we do is we work with archetypes, we call them. And so that's what we're doing while we're inside the Altermundi, is like different archetypes are visiting us, and we have like this huge list that come up a bit randomly and according to like what we're feeling. And and so like going through these archetypes were being affected by the people's reactions in the Cathcart as it was happening, you know, like people were looking at us funny and like we were answering them directly and vice versa. And like sometimes people would try to bother us and we'd like play their game a bit, you know, like there's this fantasy definitely that like people are in the Altermundi with us, even if they know it or they don't, you know.
Yeah. That's so cute. And that's, I think, like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, but I think like that's the next level. The next level is like to take people with us into the Altermundi.
I was thinking to go maybe even like a bit in this opening. I see two openings here, and you can decide which one you want to take.
Go ahead. But what are the doors?
So there's the door. I mean, what it means to practice in that kind of like surrounding. Like, there's like this idea of growth of a public that becomes kind of like just a part without with the Altermundi. Kind of like this liminal space that becomes just less and less liminal in a way. And so is there like a focal that you're kind of like envisioning? But again, it's like you're saying it's so improvised that maybe it's not necessarily taught in like, oh, that's a thing, or like a next performance even. I don't know. I don't want to say that now, but because we have still a bit of time. And the second thing was about, structure of like, I found it's really interesting to see such a beautiful perspective on archetypes, on, you were talking about avatar and imagination. And for me, that's relates a lot with like, almost like alchemy, to like resonate with the soul journey, the soul like development. It's really a spiritual way to play with performance, to play with dance, to play with oneself. And yeah, I wonder how you bring these notions. Like, is there like some, it's not about concepts, you know, it's not really about that, but more kind of like, how is there like things you're like trying to bring in this practice? Is there tools you're bringing in, like conceptual or, you know?
Mm. Interesting. I think we, one of the ways that like we're doing so much grant writing right now that like I feel like I'm really drilled to know what to answer, but it's sometimes what we write is true, you know. And in this case, I think we set our relation to the Altermundi and to the archetype specifically comes from our desire to treat the world that we have today, that we know today, to like process it. Mm. And our way of processing it is by seeing what does it do to carry these archetypes into the future. Mm. Or what are these traces from media, from like mass consumption of images, and what stays with us? What do we find interesting? And we kind of like decided to categorize at the very beginning when we were like, what, before we even knew this had a name, we were like working with two types of archetypes: those who think they know nothing and those who think they know everything. And we, and those archetypes, we like everything can fit into that. Like all of a sudden we were like thinking about like people who we knew also. Like we were thinking about like this person's brother and that person's, my old boss fit into one of these archetypes, and then this like artistic director of this fashion company, and then this like, you know, like people that we had either that like that had left a trace on us as being either kind of the sages or the fools. Mm. So like even like bringing back to forms of like tarot, even there's like everybody can somehow feel like there's a part of their essence that relates to these archetypes. And so I don't know, archetypes that it was a way to deal with this world in a way, is to like create a new one and see like what happens when you create this other world, and these archetypes, how do they live? How do they react? How do they face the absolute in a way?
Because also that's the thing I realized, that like talking about how you envision the process, like your processes are already always embedded in the future, like the way you're building the soundscape. And in one of the performances, I forgot the one that I think it was inside, I think, was it Curie? Is it possible?
Yeah.
Where there was like projection of like kind of like post-apocalyptic landscape, and it was like really otherworldly. Well, the other time there was not any visual itself, it was just like outside, but at the same time inside of like the structure of the 77...
Entrepôt 77.
77,
yeah. Wow, you've seen all of them.
I know, I'm such a fan. But yeah, so what is this? Like, is that, like, you're just bringing this Iranian energy, I would say, like, inside of... inside, so the present future is kind of like smooshed. Do you see time, like how do you see time into all of this?
Good question. I feel like so even in the Altermundi, even in our schemes and what like we've like ce qu'on a schématisé, we placed our three universes. So we have the desert, we have the race car track, and we have the village. And so the village, we did Ego and Horus. The desert, we did The Absolute is Absurd. And in the racetrack, we did Kahut Ride. And even these three universes have their own temporalities. So, like, the desert is kind of, like, more in the future than the race car, which is a bit more like tomorrow, you know? And then the village is kind of really a mix between the past and the future.
Mm.
Like, the village is like a Western science fiction, we call it. It's like, it's this category which is like old technologies and new technologies that kind of collide together. Mm-hmm. And so that meeting with the present is what's like really, I think, interesting. It's like, what is universal in this? You know, what traverses time? What stays? I think that's why the notion of our archetypes like is interesting to us. And I think that's why people are intrigued in a way also, is because there's something maybe slightly universal when you're addressing the question of time. Like what stays? What do we understand? What do we know? What do we, like, what does our intuition can feel about the past and the future?
Mm-hmm. Especially if you're like, basically kind of like turning everything upside down, like you're mm-hmm. like, oh, this future, the Western future, is kind of like even something that we don't think, like it's kind of a silly, it's a joke, it's a it's something that we're not, this post-apocalyptic is also turned upside down, it's never clear, and the liminal of it is like, yeah, this temporality is so flexible and so flux, like so much flux. I have difficulty to say the word flux.
Flux.
it's fluctuating in so many ways. And I guess what stays are archetypes. What stays is this self that is looking in this weird landscape mm-hmm. and this weird thing that you're going in and you bring people with.
Yeah.
You know?
Not to be a bit like witchy, but I think when you're like facing this uncertainty about the future, which we all are today, there's this need to understand it. Mm-hmm. And that's where like we ask questions about the universal. We ask questions about like what from yesterday will stay tomorrow, you know, and what from today can we work with that will stretch in time and or not, and but like it's knowing this and being conscious of it. And I think that's why there's like this magnetizing effect with spirituality and tarot, and like there's a need to understand right now, I feel.
So as a closing word
already,
yeah, it's going fast. What is your next? Where can we see you? What's going to happen to you? Are you going to fall into the Elder Mundi full time?
Yeah, so that's what we're working on right now, is this kind of this mega jump into the Elder Mundi. What does it mean to travel between universes freely? To be determined where it's going to be next, but probably somewhere. I have a very good feeling about this. If you want to have more information and follow me, you can follow me on Instagram, either Project Alter Dogs or Claire Pearl. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks to you. And well, hope to hear from you soon. And
anytime.
F Files. We will close our show today and show gratitude to Claire Pearl, who was present for this cute little interview. And see you next week on the air of CQT.
Thank you.